Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast episode. If you don't know who I am, my name is Moses Pineda. As of July 28, 2019, I am still a P3 student currently in my final year at Larkin University. This is episode number 2, so quickly before I start the podcast, I want to mention a few topics that we go over. And these are possible ways to prepare for APPE students and adjusting that site to your schedule. Also, my guest, Adedeji John, had a rotation with the FDA, which he'll be sharing. I do want to point out that at some points, Samir Morad, or Sam, and I tried to get Adedeji to mention to us how he ended up at the FDA, not just his experience at the FDA. But regardless, he ends up explaining his experience, which is a great listen, and maybe he'll tell us that story another day. Also, CV and letters of interest is another topic, along with self-awareness of our growth as students in the medical field. And lastly, networking, because it can't be said enough times, right? So this podcast is going to start with me introducing everyone. A little bit different on this one is that I'm normally accustomed to a certain structure when I do audio, but this time around it was different with my guests being there, who are my friends. And they wanted to have a free and open discussion. So it did draw a little bit longer than what I expected it to be, but the information being shared was worth it, and on the plus side, I had major fun doing it. All right, enjoy the show. I've got Adedeji John, right? If you don't know how to spell that, or however he said it in his last video, all right? And then I've also got Samir Murad.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Okay, weird flex. Anyways, today I have two special guests, like I said. They're my friends, and what we're really going to just pinpoint, rather than talk about educational videos, we're just going to share our experiences as far as what we've done in API rotation and just some random thoughts that might come to mind that, you know, we feel would be helpful for someone preparing for their API rotations coming up in a year. For some, that might be a faraway time frame, but for many, depending on what you've got going on, which kind of program you're in, whether it's a 4-year or a 3-year program, that time might be very minimal depending on how many other projects you got going on. So what are some things that you might have done to start preparing for your APPEs? And this is just a straight up warm up question, nothing too crazy. So yeah, go ahead.
For me, the most important thing about APPEs is preparing your CV and getting that right the first time and continuously updating it throughout your academic career in pharmacy school.
Yeah, and another thing that you can do to prepare for your APPEs is, let's say, you know, you have a infectious disease rotation, you know, you might want to prep on your ID, you know, via the RX prep book or your school notes, things like that. So, you know, it's either people do or they don't prepare for it. And I feel like when you know, on your first day of rotations, you kind of gauge what kind of expectations they have of you. And then you can further dig deep into what you're going to study.
Yeah, so people could also, like, ask, like, if you're in a program, I'll fix this right.
Sorry, we have, like, a weird setup here. Anyways, if one of the things that he was talking about is, like, preparing, look at the site you're actually gonna be going to. More than likely, you already signed up for this area, so you have an idea of what to expect. And if you don't, make sure you're involved within your classmates. Understand that having these connections are going to be real helpful throughout your pharmacy career, not just while you're in school. If you know the upperclassmen or anyone that knows upperclassmen, and then they can tell you what experience they had, maybe some of them actually went to that same rotation. You could just ask them and they'll be honest with you and tell you what to expect from the get-go. So then that way you're not emailing the preceptor and hoping they're as detailed as possible, right? Because they also have their own job to manage. So they're just going to give you the general gist of it.
So if you can, if you have free time, you should try to visit your site so that the first day you're not scrambling or trying to be confused about the directions that you're supposed to be going or where you're supposed to meet, where you're supposed to park. So maybe try to visit there first, and then your first day you'll know exactly where to go, where to park, and you won't be late.
So you had a specific rotation where you went to the FDA, right?
That is correct.
It was in Maryland?
It was in Silver Spring, Maryland.
How was that, like, experience with you? Like, you know, you talking about, how did you get there?
Well, you can't visit the site beforehand because you had to travel there. Anyway,
it's like Area 51.
Just about, yeah. There's a lot of security there. People with guns. You
crazy,
know, it was
people
crazy.
Are gonna break into Area 51 right
yeah,
now.
They had a dog to sniff for explosives. It was pretty crazy. I'm kidding. But it was an interesting experience. My time there was well thought out. Like the time that we, every time there was a schedule for pharmacy, for pharmacists to talk to you about what they did at the FDA. So there was a pharmacy student schedule. And each day or certain parts of the day, there are different speakers. And you have to go through a different room or a different part of the FDA campus. And in those lectures, you learn about what they do when, what pharmacology, what kind of part a pharmacist can play. So there are clinical pharmacists. There are review managers. There are also lawyers who are pharmacists, and they work for the FDA. Each presentation talks about a specific aspect that a pharmacist can contribute to at the FDA. The best part is meeting all the people in the minds and the kind of like the background information of what goes into applying or taking a drug to market. So for example, an IND, which is a investigational new drug application, costs about $2.5 million just to apply, and the sponsors pay for that. And then at the FDA, they have a specific window, and they call it PDUFA dates. Basically, it's the timeline that they have to review and accept or reject that new drug application or whatever. So once they apply and they pay them the money, it goes through this process where everything that they submit, all the journal articles, the data, the
now,
patients.
Is this classified information?
It is not classified information because.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
You can delete that.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. All right, cool. But it's very expensive to apply, and they have to make sure that they get it right. And the drugs that they want to bring to market, that it has to have evidence.
Right.
So they have to do clinical trials, and each piece of evidence is scrutinized. And once it's scrutinized and approved, it goes through different departments.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at the chemistry, they look at the toxicology, they look at the pharmacology, they look at if the drug actually would work, or
right.
the theoretically would work for the particular indication that they want to apply for.
Nice.
So it was a great experience to see kind of the backdoor aspect. If anyone gets a chance to go to the FDA and tour or have an appy there, definitely apply and apply early. And make sure that when you do your application, your CV and your interest in the letter of interest is up to par.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So my initial question was like, how was your experience going up there? Because you have like an interesting experience, right? Which is pretty cool. Like, you filled us in what you did there. So that's awesome, because I think that's like one of the best things. And that gives people the idea now, if you have the actual option, you know, for one of these rotations and you're interested in that kind of stuff. And he didn't even dig into like, right? You didn't even go into like everything that you actually did there. Obviously, some stuff you can't mention. But in either case, we'll get back to him. But he has an interesting experience that he has to talk. Well, you have a question?
Yeah.
All right.
So, Adeji, didn't you tell me you went into a meeting, right, with some drug company out of the States? So tell us quickly about that experience of how it is to come and actually meet with the FDA.
Or is that something you can mention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No specific names.
No, I'm not going to say anything
right?
specific,
right.
But there was basically a foreign country that is interested in bringing a drug to market in the United States. So they usually correspond via email, but they are allowed to request a meeting, a pre-IND meeting. So this company from a foreign country would come to the United States to do the meeting, and then they would discuss about the course or how the application is progressing, if they have any questions in regards to trial development or application specifics, like regulations, if anything changed. Now is that time that they were able to do that. But from my experience, the biggest kind of like barrier I noticed, there was a lot of misunderstanding, and it's because I think of the language barrier. They spoke English and they spoke it well. It's that sometimes some of the I guess, nuances of language. Like, they were trying to say something, they had to repeat themselves several times before they kind of, like, understood kind of, like, what they really meant. So the FDA people had to really repeat themselves several times, but eventually the point got across. They understand where they need to go, but they're allowed that meeting. And then if they progress through the clinical trials and everything, their drug will eventually come to market. And it takes about 10 years or so, depending on how, you know, well and thought out the study design is, and, you know, how the need of the drug, yada, yada.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. So that gives us an insight of what his perspective is on from his site and how he prepared for it. You heard a little bit of what Sam already had to say from the first time around. If you can just tell us a little bit more, did you do anything? Did you relax? Were you just, you know, just right. chill? Because one of the things with the program that we're in, it's continuous and it's nonstop. So, you know, at some point you definitely got to make sure that you get as much rest as you possibly can, because yeah. our exams went back to back, and then that very next week, that very next Monday, you were in your Abby rotations.
Exactly.
So just what did you do with the limited amount of time that you had to prepare for your rotations?
So as always, all the students emailed our preceptors ahead of time. So you absolutely, before you start the rotation, at least 3-4 weeks ahead of time, you're going to want to email them, introduce yourself.
I mean, not so much the general stuff, right? Like,
everyone knows, right? We're all professionals okay, here. I got you. A lot of us already went through our IPPEs, and I know you know this, but for anyone listening, if you already went through your IPPEs, you already know you got to email your preceptor.
Absolutely, yeah.
You got to be professional. It's got to be in a timely manner, right? We know you got to dress up. Don't say that, you know, you have your white coat nicely pressed. So just tell us in, like, your personal, like, what you personally did. Like, you know, rather than, like, so much of the stuff that we know we should be doing as students. You know, the general stuff. But anything that you find differently specific that you might have changed because you feel it goes beyond what the typical student is, feel free to answer it.
So on day one, they gave me a schedule. So it pretty much spread everything out, and I knew which days were...
Did you ask for the schedule, or they gave it?
No, absolutely. They printed out for every student, for me, for other students. Yeah, so everyone, IPPEs and APPE rotations, they all got the schedule. I think you guys also got a schedule. So this is good. You get to plan out your week. You know, you are supposed to give at least one journal club on average per rotation, especially in the hospital. So some preceptors let you schedule it. Some others tell you what day ahead of time. And then they'll email you the topic, you know, in a few weeks beforehand. But I think that's key to plan yourself around the schedule. Now, for my hospital, we had, it was mainly geriatrics. So the mean age of the patients was about 80, 85. So we did a lot of renal adjustments. I did a lot of converting, if I can convert a drug from IV to PO, many things like that, infectious disease. And, you know, it was an internal medicine rounded APPE rotation, but you see a lot of different things, anticoags, you see oncology. So it's a good overall APPE rotation. It's very clinical. One thing I would have to say about this rotation, and I think many other rotations, students are complaining about this, they don't have enough computers. If you're accepting four students, why do you have two computers? I just don't understand, you know? But anyways, besides that, a lot of students also kind of, and me too, I think that we should be shadowing clinical pharmacists, I think, more often, see the process of verifying prescriptions, something so simple as that. But if, you know, if you got hired, that's mainly what you do. You know, you verify prescriptions, you're not filling them, but, you know, you're verifying them and making sure that there's no interactions, things of that nature. So seeing different systems in different types of hospitals, you know, you get to see that point of view. And I think that's critical right there.
All right, now, what is one thing that you wish someone would have told you before going into your APP, your first rotation from each of you? But yeah, one thing that you wish someone would have been like, hey, man, I'm from the future. Don't do this, right? Sam or Adedeji, whichever one of you would like to start, go ahead, let me know.
So I've noticed, like, after starting my rotation, that you have a lot of more free time than you thought you didn't have. And you're starting to recognize the person you were before pharmacy school.
Absolutely.
So you're going back to that baseline, so to speak. But I would urge you not to go back so fast and kind of like start a schedule, RX prep, or, you know, just to maintain the knowledge that you've worked so hard in pharmacy school to keep. So just review, as little as possible, or just make time for it. And another one is working up patients. Like, I never knew how complex it can really get. You know, in school, they go over cases, and you go to the right answer. You have A, B, C, and D. But in real life, when you're working up these patients, it's really not that simple. And it was a big shock to me.
I think the biggest hurdle for me working up patients was navigating the system that they had. So I know every hospital, well, most hospitals are kind of different. So, you know, finding, let's say, lab values, something so simple, but if you don't know how to navigate it, you're going to miss something critical for the patient, whether it's monitoring labs for a specific drug, or, you know, monitoring their blood pressure, their glucose, whatever it may be. You need to know what you're looking for and where to find it. And I think it takes at least, you know, a good decent week for you to really navigate it and take your time and make sure you give yourself enough time to work up these patients.
All right. So thank you for your information. This is like the third time we've done this part. So thank you for that information, guys. I appreciate it. Come on, man. Someone knocks on the door. All right, we're going to take a pause here. I'm going to keep this, but I'm going to have to stop it. Okay, so we're back. All right. So thank you guys for those segments of your experience. The next question that I wanted to ask you is pretty much from what you've experienced now, since we've been a little bit over 2 months in our APPEs, what is one thing that you have gained so far, just one thing that you've gained so far that you felt has taken your, you know, growing professional skills to another level, that, you know, you're able to look at a patient and, you know, maybe you might not have the full therapeutic evaluation for it, but at least you're able to guide yourself to able to assist the pharmacist or assist the doctor, you know, that you're possibly rounding with. Whichever one of you wants to go first, feel free.
So as I said, my rotation, it was high-end geriatric population, so many geriatric patients, and one thing I did day to day was renal dosing. So I helped them out when they asked me, hey, you know, is vancomycin, is, you know, if the creatinine clearance is, let's say, 15 for this patient, is the dose the same? Do I have to down it? Do I have to up it? You know, what am I doing for this dose? So I learned a lot about renal adjusting for medications, and I think that's a good thing.
One thing I learned, and I do from my experience at the FDA, any new drug or drug that they're trying to put on the market, or any sort of journal club, or they're talking about something in regards to a drug and they put it on paper, I kind of like in my head pretend I'm like at the FDA and I scrutinize it as if I was the one reviewing it or something like that. So it's kind of corny, but it kind of puts me in the mindset to make sure that everything that they put on paper is accurate and I understand it fully. So I take that extra step to learn a little bit more about it, just to make sure whatever I'm presenting or stating or, you know, telling the physician is accurate and the recommendations that I make are safe and effective.
You guys have anything else to add?
Networking is very important. So I kind of learned how to, like, talk to other pharmacy students, get to know who they are, hang out with them. Just for that off chance that, you know, I may end up working with them, you know, or they might hire me, or they might put me in connection with someone who might be able to give me a job. So making those connections over there were very important and something that I learned. So if I'm ever in, like, New Jersey or California, like, I, you know, I know someone there and they can help me do some sightseeing or on a more professional level, you know, introduce me to, you know, their director or their boss or something like that. So networking is very important. That's something I learned over there.
In the pharmacy world, it's really small, guys. I met at least 3 or 4 different pharmacists from the same fraternity, and you'd be surprised, seriously, how just being nice to everyone, how far that'll get you, especially when you graduate and you're looking for a job, especially in the hospital.
Okay, so then next question that we have is how you manage your time. So if you guys can just fill us in, you know, like a couple things that you do, 1 or 2 things, that would be great.
What I do, and I think everyone should have one, is a schedule, like a calendar. So you know what meetings, or you know what exams, or certain dates that are specific to you or your schedule or whatever is important to you in pharmacy school. I think it's very important to have a calendar so you know what's going on throughout the week. Look at that calendar at the beginning of the week so you kind of have an idea of where your week's going to go and adjust accordingly. Set some time to study. Set some time to relax. Just have a schedule. Kind of stay with it. Be consistent. It's going to be a weird habit to get into, especially in pharmacy school. And you have to be adaptable. So you have to be willing to accept some change and sacrifice, because you're not going to have as much free time as you think you may have. So you're probably not going to hang out with your friends as often because you need to, you know, set some time to study for a big exam the next day. Or you can't go out on the weekends because some of us work, but you might have to work. And then you have to remember you have to really take care of yourself too. So maybe you have to put time into that. So, and then family or whatever you got going on, it's very important to structure it. And structure is very important. If anything else, just have a little bit of a foundation and you should be fine.
So like Adedeji said, it's critical that you plan. Students study differently, so you just have to plan your schedule around how you study. You know, do you study better early in the morning, or do you study better at night, right after class? You should still find enough time to get decent sleep and eat as healthy as you can and still live healthy, but a lot of your social time is gonna disappear and you're just gonna be studying. But you just also, how added as you said, you have to adapt and adjust, and it might take you a little bit of time, but it will happen.
I would also like to emphasize going to the gym or exercising to relieve stress. It may not be going to the gym, but you need at least one stress reliever, whether it's playing basketball, baseball, watching Netflix, just, you know, something to kind of unplug for a little bit so that you can kind of recenter yourself at the beginning of each week.
Yep. And then to add to that is, don't forget, make sure you eat well, you know. Don't forget that, guys.
Mangoes. Eat your mangoes.
Eat your mangoes, man. Have your veggies. You got to stay as prepared as you can, as much energy as you can, because certain programs are more demanding than others.
And just try to have fun with your class. There are moments that you cherish, but other times, you know, most of the time you're studying, but there are good moments. So it's not all just awful and boring and, you know, and studying, but you do have your good moments.
Yep. There's the sentimental side to it too, you know. Yep. Give that love and share it with them, because there are certain programs where you are going to be a lot more closer than, you know, than others, where you probably never see some of your classmates and you don't even know some of their names. So this is one of the things that goes back to what we were talking about before, and they make good examples where you got to make connections. You got to make connections with your classmates, and then you got to cherish those moments, because that's how you're going to build these connections moving forward. Once you break out of school, people say, oh, you got to make connections. Well, this is one of the ways. These are the same people that you're going to be in the field with as soon as you come out. Maybe some friend knows someone that can get you in a connection with them. And just like they say, build those connections and then cherish those moments with your classmates, because you don't know where those connections will take you. So what are some other things that you, anything else? You guys are good?
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm truly blessed to have the opportunity. You're an excellent person. I can't believe I'm meeting Moses for the first time.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We're in front of him.
A great guy, famous. I'm lucky to have him as a friend.
Daily educational posts. Daily. And interesting. Very, very interesting.
So much love. Thank you so much for the opportunity. You the man.
Like, I'm comment, out. Subscribe. Samir at Edgy Moises. Tuning out.
Yeah, so that was a weird outro. Not one that I would choose. Now they're on their phones. But yeah, so it was great talking to both of you. I really appreciate all the experiences that you shared. We got to look for other topics that we bring to people. We'll probably come up with some along the way ourselves, more than likely. You know, link up and make sure to do another one of these. That would be pretty cool. Or educational videos. Yeah. That too. Don't forget. That's really good just for yourself. Actually, now that I've done some of the presentations myself, like the congestive heart failure or whatever, my journal article was actually on enalapril versus sacubitril. And it was like a comparison of the drug for congestive heart failure. But just because I did that presentation already on congestive heart failure and the pathway and all that stuff, all I had to do was go through it briefly. Like, it didn't even require that much time because I already knew the disease state.
But so you feel way more confident in CHF then, right?
Yeah.
Just definitely. By doing this topic discussion or presentation, whatever, you feel much more prepared for that sense. You
know, for that journal article, yeah.
You feel more prepared in that subject.
Yeah. So, like, doing the presentations really helped. But yeah, funny instance. What I was expecting would happen has happened. Yeah. Then it'll be easier in the long run, where like it sticks. I don't know all the details of congestive heart failure. Like, I know the basic, you know, outline. Yeah.
They give you a little discussion.
Classifications.
You look it up, all of a sudden, now you feel more confident.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a great thing.
So, but anyways, I really appreciate everyone listening in. This was great. We're going to appreciate Alexis, which has been in the back just working on her RX prep. Man, she is organizing this thing like crazy. She's making some tabs. They don't match the colors of the chapters, but it's all good. She's not deconstructing the book, you know, like others are doing. She's not a follower, okay? She does her own thing. She's her own boss. I think she has this bumper sticker that says it. I didn't say it. Her bumper sticker did. Anyways, so I appreciate everyone, and thank you for listening. Till next time, take care.